constitutional ability to bring a lawsuit to protect constitutional rights of people of Michigan. So I brought a lawsuit on behalf of all the menstruating people in Michigan, 2.2 million.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to another episode of the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you to everybody for your patience and your concern as I go through yet another, I don't even know. I mean, honestly, whoever put the curse or has the voodoo doll out for me, please remove it because this is getting a little old. I tried to keep it under wraps a little. Only my closest friends of the show really know what's going on, but I wanted to talk to you real quick about what's going on. We all know back on May 31st, I lost my father, and I had a hard time with that. It was the end of an era. I lost my mom on February 2nd, 2021, and a mere, 14, 15, 16 months later, I lost my dad, and I lost my parents. I have no parents, and not that I didn't and don't miss my mom, and her passing destroyed me, but when my father passed, it was just a gut punch. I have no parents, and it was stressful, and I don't know what happened to me, but I felt myself not really feeling the best. I mean, nothing major. I noticed when we were at my family or my parents' house, my family and I, my brothers and sisters, we were starting to clean out. I noticed that going up the stairs from the basement, I'm getting a little winded. Nothing big. I hadn't been to the gym in a while, just too much going on. But nothing major. And then on the 10th of June, I left work and drove over to Port Huron to Lakeport State Park, where my wife and my youngest son were camping and planned on camping with them for the weekend. Got there Friday, everything's fine. No problem. Sat around the fire, enjoyed ourselves. Good time. Saturday, got up, ate breakfast, felt fine. Decided to go to Fort Gratiot Lighthouse. And my wife and I love lighthouses, especially the ones along Michigan. She has a book that the state of Michigan, you know, every time you go there, you get a stamp. And the goal is to see as many, if not all, the lighthouses. Well, fun fact, Michigan has more lighthouses than any other state. Because, I mean, quite honestly, we have more coastline than any other state. But essentially, we're walking around and everything's fine, and we get to the lighthouse. I mean, it's a whole park. I mean, it's got an old Civil War hospital that they moved down there. They've got quarters, Coast Guard quarters. They've got multiple different buildings. And we get to the lighthouse, and we go in, and we start climbing the stairs, the spiral stairs up this tall lighthouse. And I get about 8 steps up those stairs, and all of a sudden, I'm lightheaded. I'm dizzy. I'm seeing double. My heart feels like it's going to burst out of my chest. I can feel it beating in my head. I can't catch my breath. I'm like, what is going on? And my wife is like, what is wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I can't catch my breath. And she's like, just hang out. We'll wait. So I waited, and it got a little better, but nothing. So I tried going up another, more steps. I got about 4 steps, and same thing. I'm like, I can't do this. I felt like I was going to fall down the steps. So I said, go up with Zachary, and just I'll meet you down here. And I got down to the bottom and found a chair and sat. And just my heart felt like it was pounding out of my chest. I was starting to get chest pains. I'm like, what is going on? And after about 15 minutes, it kind of calmed down. So we were able to walk around a little bit. I could tell my heart rate was still racing, but nothing like it was before. Got in the vehicle, drove back to the campsite, sat down for a little bit. My son wanted to go to the ice cream shop. That's about a half mile down. So we got on our bikes and start pedaling. And I mean, we didn't even leave the park. And I'm like, whoa, my gosh, I'm winded. Kept going, got there. Dizzy. I'm dizzy. I'm lightheaded. I don't feel right. But, you know, of course I got ice cream. I mean, I'm at that ice cream store. I can't not get that. So we're sitting down there eating ice cream and we're done and we get on our bikes and we go, and halfway back, I've got sweat pouring down me. And this was June 11th, and it was not warm there. We're right on the water, and there was a northeast wind blowing, and it was blowing the cold air from the water right into us. So it wasn't freezing, but I mean, I think I had shorts and a sweatshirt on. And we were barely pedaling, and even my wife said, you are sweating like a pig. And again, I'm getting dizzy, I'm getting lightheaded, and we get back to the campsite, and I'm like, I gotta go lay down. And I just crashed. I was exhausted. I mean, physically exhausted. Got up the next morning, didn't feel the best, sat outside with the wife, had breakfast, and just relaxed all day. You know, we had plans of going to some pizza place, to go here and here. I couldn't do it. And about 2 o'clock, I said, I'm going to get going. I've got a lot to do, and I got to work tomorrow. And on the way home, I'm just starting to feel really just not right. And I go home. My son's home, my 18-year-old son. And he's like, what's the matter? I'm like, I don't know. I just don't feel good. So I unloaded everything, and my heart is just going crazy. Every time I exert myself, my heart goes crazy. I get chest pains. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, please don't be a heart attack. Please don't be a heart attack. I lay down, and again, I'm just exhausted. I got up, fell asleep right away, got up the next morning, and just felt horrible. Got up, took a shower, and I'm in the shower, and I'm just dizzy as I'll get up, feeling nauseous. I'm like, what is going on? Continue to get ready for work, feed the cats, and I mean, every time I bend down, I feel like I'm going to pass out. I feel like I'm going to fall, and something's wrong. So I'm like, I got to get to work, at least open the place up till the boss gets there. And driving to work, I don't even remember getting to work. Don't remember it at all. I do remember pulling into the spot, and I'll be honest, you know, send me a ticket if you want, but I parked in the handicap spot because I didn't feel like I could walk from the normal parking spot. And I get into my, you know, get out of my car, open the doors, and walk, turn on the computer, and I'm winded. I am beyond winded. It's like I ran a mile just on a dead sprint. My heart feels like it's pounding out of my chest, and I stand there, and I'm like, something's wrong. So I get up enough strength to go walk in the back, turn on all the computers, unlock the doors, turn on the air compressor, everything. And I get back to my station up front, and I just collapse in the chair. And the boss comes in about 7:50, looks at me, he's like, what is wrong? I'm like, something's not right, Adam. I don't feel good. Didn't say anything and got up. And when I got up, I felt horrible. Felt horrible. Felt like I was going to throw up. And I walked up to him. I said, hey, what do you got going on? He's like, I don't know why. I said, something's wrong. I got to go to the hospital. Something's not right. I think the stress of my life lately has got to me. I just want to get there, have them give me something for anxiety and tell me to chill the hell out and go back to work and live your life. So I get there. And I go to the triage, and he's like, what's the problem? I'm like, man, I have chest pains. It feels like my heart is going to burst out of my chest. My arms are just tingling. They just feel heavy and tingling. I can't breathe. And he's like, huh. So he puts everything on, checks my temperature fine. Blood pressure is pretty high. Heart rate is about 150. And that's just from walking to the car to the ER. And I'm like, yeah, it feels like every bit of 150. And I'll tell you something. These little Fitbit type watches, these Apple watches, I've got a knockoff, but these things are scary accurate. Mine does oxygen saturation, blood pressure, and beats per minute. And it was, the beats per minute, it was off by one. The blood pressure was dead on, and the O2 saturation dead on. Never had a problem with the O2 saturation. So they rush me in, hook me up to an EKG machine, start drawing blood, and bring me into a bed. And the doctor comes in. She's like, okay, we're going to send you up to Saginaw, and we're going to do a heart cath. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Why? Were my tests that bad? She says, no, we haven't got the test results back, but you have every indication of a heart blockage. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Every time I've had my heart checked, I was just here a year ago for COVID, and they told me my heart is in great shape. Something else is going on. I think it's stress. It's anxiety. And I told her what's going on. She's like, let's wait for your labs to come back. And the nurse comes in. She looks at me. She goes, are you anemic? And I said, it depends. Sometimes I'm a little low, nothing major. Nobody's ever concerned about it. She says, no, you need a blood transfusion. You are deathly anemic right now. You are in the sevens. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. She says, your hemoglobin is horrible right now. So she leaves, says she's going to talk to the doctor, and I've got my phone on me, and, I made the mistake of Googling the doctor on Google, and, you're going to die. You get a cold, you're going to die on Google. But I'm looking at the symptoms of very, very low, where I was, hemoglobin, and every symptom. I mean, rapid heartbeat. Hard breathing with exertion, fatigue, exhaustion, extreme body aches, tingling in extremities. The only thing I didn't have, apparently when you're anemic like this, you crave dirt. I didn't crave dirt. I don't understand that myself. But I had every single symptom of very, very dangerously low hemoglobin. And the heart doctor comes in. And he's like, okay, we're getting ready to transfer you up there. And I said, hold on, doc. I don't think it's my heart. My EKG came out fine. I don't have any heart, the triglycerides are fine. There's no elevated heart enzymes. Aren't we jumping the gun? He says, no, you have every symptom of a heart blockage. We need to get you up to Saginaw right now. You are in very bad shape. I'm like, man, I don't feel. What about this hemoglobin thing? He's like, what are you talking about? Well, I said, the nurse came in and said, I'm really, really low on hemoglobin. And he's like, what? Really? And he leaves the room and he comes back and he's like, yeah, what's that all about? And I'm like, you tell me. You're the doctor. Well, I don't know. So we're going to have to check on that. We're going to continue to check on that. We're going to admit you today. We're going to do a stress test tomorrow. And I said, okay. I kind of want to prove to him that my heart's fine. So the next morning, I get my piece of toast for breakfast after not eating all day the day before. Get my piece of toast and proceed to go do a heart stress test where you basically walk on a treadmill and get your heart rate up. And I get that done, and the doctor comes in shortly after. I was really actually kind of surprised at how quickly they came in. And the doctor's like, Mr. Velasquez, your heart's fine. Your heart is in really good shape. And I said, I told you it is. So what is going on? She's like, well, are you bleeding? And I said, no. Well, we think this has to do with the anemia. And I said, that's what I said yesterday, the low hemoglobin. She says, yes, but we don't know why you're that low. Would you have any idea why? I said, the only thing I can think of is the stress I've been under. Well, stress can cause that, but that's really low for stress. I bet you you're bleeding somewhere. And I said, I bet you I'd see it, but I don't. She says, we're going to schedule an endoscopy and a colonoscopy tomorrow, and that'll tell us everything. I'm like, whatever. She says, so from now, from this point forward, you're on a liquid diet. You can't eat anything. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I haven't eaten since yesterday. I had a piece of toast today. She says, nope. We got to do the bowel prep, which if you haven't done the bowel prep, oh, you're missing the joy of just peeing out your butt is what you do. And oh my gosh, it was horrible. And while I'm in the room, I've got another person on the other side of me who I found the one person that watches MSNBC because, first off, he's hard of hearing. So the TV is on full blast, and all I'm hearing is all these MSNBC idiots talking about the January 6th debacle. And talking, and he's over there in the bed, oh, these Trump people need to be put in prison. Anybody that supports Trump needs to be put in prison. And I'm biting my tongue. A, because I feel horrible still. I don't want to get into it. And this guy's 80, 89 years old. He's not going to be here much longer. I'm not going to put him in a heart attack because I was on the heart floor. So the next morning, I get done, you know, after all my prepping, I get done and go in at 2:45 in the afternoon. So keep in mind, I didn't eat anything Monday. The last time I ate was Sunday. I picked up something on the way home. So Sunday night, didn't eat Monday, didn't eat Tuesday. We're now on Wednesday. And at 1:45, they wheel me in to get prepped or get ready to do the colonoscopy. 2:45, the colonoscopy and endoscopy come in. 4:30, I finally come to, and you know, I don't remember everything. My wife was there, but basically he says there's nothing there. We can't find anything. We don't know where you're losing this blood from. So they wheel me into the room, and the doctor comes in, and we're talking, and I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, everybody's talking about my hemoglobin. Has anybody checked my iron and my ferritin levels? Because to me, I'm not a doctor, but I'm not stupid. Those two go hand in hand. And she goes into my chart, and she's like, well, let's see what your iron and ferritin are. Well, we haven't even checked it. And I'm like, well, don't you think that'd be a good idea? She says, I think you're right. Yeah, that's a good idea. So 20 minutes later, the lab comes in and draws blood. An hour later, here comes the doctor with two bags of iron. And I said, is it really that low? She said, well, Mr. Velasquez, going over your history, your iron levels are usually between a 55 and a 60, and your iron is at 9. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. She says, no, you have no oxygen in your blood. That's this, everything, all your symptoms are starting to make sense now. And I said, what about my ferritin? Well, she says, your ferritin is usually between 250 and 265. You're at 13. And I'm like, that's not good. She says, yes, this makes sense. Now we got to find out why. So they give me two bags of oxygen, and it raised my hemoglobin. Thursday comes in, and it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, and the doctor comes in, you know, doing the daily rounds. And I'm like, so what do we do next? Well, we're trying to get a hematologist to come in and see you, but it looks like the only appointment we have for you is July 14th. I'm like, July 14th, that's almost a month away. Yes. Well, can I go home? Well, we need you on bed rest, Mr. Velasquez. I'm like, why? Well, Mr. Velasquez, you don't understand. And this is what's going on with me. So I have essentially half the blood in my body that I should. So my heart is racing. Even at rest, my heart is just pounding, trying to circulate half the blood that I should have. So it's working overtime. And the blood that I do have in my system is not being oxygenated because I don't have enough iron. So therefore, my organs, my tissues, my muscles, this is why I feel exhausted, why my body aches all the time, why I'm getting headaches like there's no tomorrow, because my organs, my tissues, and my muscles are not getting enough oxygen. The doctor told me, you know, you cannot exert yourself. If you do, you are at severe risk for a major heart attack or a major stroke. I don't want either. But she says, you need to be here where we can keep an eye on you in bed rest till we can figure out what's going on. And I said, I can't do this. I don't sleep in a hospital, guys. I don't. The hospital beds are ridiculous. They're constantly coming in, probing, picking, prodding at you. And the guy next to me snores like a freaking grizzly bear. I had my wife bring headphones. I turned them on full blast. I can still hear that guy snoring. I mean, literally, I could feel the air moving. It was that bad. So we finally At about 3 o'clock, the doctor came in. He says, listen, we can send you home, but you need to be literally doing nothing. And if I'm going to do nothing, I would rather do it at home rather than sit in the hospital and just fester. And that's what I felt like I was doing. So I got home Thursday. And listen, I can't deny I'm working half days. I mean, bills still got to be paid. You know, this is not everybody's hurting right now. And that includes me, big time. Everything's going up. I haven't got a raise. My wife hasn't got a raise on her disability. We're hurting. So as I told the doctor when I went in Tuesday for a follow-up, you know, I'll go on bed rest. I'll sit home and do nothing if I can send my bills for you to pay. But if not, then there's nothing I can do. Even half days are not going to help me out at all. I mean, they're going to basically put gas in my car. I'm basically paying to go back and forth to work. Might be paying a bill or two. Nothing like I was making before, because I had a base salary plus commission. Well, when I'm not working those hours, I'm not getting that commission, and I'm not getting my base salary. Plus, I'm still paying for all my insurance and all my taxes and everything, so my checks are pretty much zero. So, as of now, I'm starting to feel a little better, but what I've found out, that's because I can't do anything. We've got my son's open house this Saturday, and my wife is not letting me do a thing. We just lost my aunt. And add to my stress, we lost my father on May 31st. I went into the hospital and being told I could literally croak any minute, June 13th. June 27th, my dad's sister passes. So I'm recording this on Thursday. We just had her funeral today, and I had to be a pallbearer. That's one of her wishes. You know, she wanted me and my brothers and, you know, part of the family to be the pallbearers for her. And I had to lift that casket. Granted, it was with 5 other people. I can't do it. Every time I exert myself, it's a gamble. It's a risk. And we've got my son's, you know, open house coming up this Saturday, open house / 4th of July party, and I can't do anything. You know, my brother's got his 4th of July party Sunday. He wants me to DJ it, and I can't do it. I just don't have the strength. I've got about 2 hours in me where in the morning I feel okay, and then after 2 hours I get chest pains, my heart rate goes up, I start sweating, I get the body aches, I get the weakness, and I'm done. So that is where I am. It's been 2 weeks, and I'm still not even close to being good. I feel horrible. But everybody thought it was, you know, hey, you know, your dad. And don't get me wrong, I'm still mourning my dad. But a lot of you thought, yeah, just take all the time you have to mourn. Well, this is therapeutic to me doing this. So it was good to get back behind the mic after my father passed. Physically, I couldn't do it. I go down the basement in a little studio in my basement to record this show. I can't go up and down the stairs. I am literally going to have my kids help me up the stairs when I'm done. It's that bad. And my wife is going to freak out because it's going to raise my heartbeat. And it is what it is. Until I get some answers, I don't know. I mean, it's scary because without a bleed, the reasons for anemia, there's not a lot of good reasons why you'd be anemic like I was without a major bleed. So that's where I've been. I really, really want to thank everyone that has sent me well wishes. Even those that were telling me, hey, take all the time you need. Losing a parent is never easy, and it's not. Unfortunately, that's not the reason that I haven't been behind the mic. And for those of you that do know why, thank you. Thank you for everything. It's tough. I'm a pretty active guy, and to be having to sit here doing nothing it's hard. I feel like I'm getting better because I'm able to get behind this mic, where the last 2 weeks I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. So that's promising. That's promising. My idiot doctor, I went in there Tuesday after I got out of the hospital, and he orders blood work and doesn't bother to check the hemoglobin, the iron, or the ferritin. And when I messaged him on the portal, said, well, why did we not check the hemoglobin, iron, or ferritin? Well, you never asked to. Well, that's the whole reason I went into the office. So, again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. This day, nowadays, you have to become your own advocate when dealing with anything medical. If you just go in there and yes, sir, yes, doctor, yes, doctor, yes, doctor, you're going to get the runaround. You're not going to get the answers you want. So be your own advocate. That's what I have to do. So thank you for everyone that gave me great comments, hope, and inspiration. I love you all. We will be right back. And I'm going to talk. I got to talk about the comment you heard from our illustrious governor. And then we got to talk about Roe versus Wade and a little bit of January 6th. And we'll see how much longer I can do the show. And we might get into some other stuff. So you are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. Oh, you good for now. Baby, tell me it's your town. I'll stay around. You can show me your way. You can show me your ways. The stuff
of nightmares. Hey, everybody. This is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam, intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I guess I want to start the show, with the comment that our illustrious governor here in Michigan made. I want to play it for you again so you can remember and really listen to what she said, because it's ridiculous. I want to talk to you about what she said and the culture behind it. So here again is failed governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan and her comment regarding the women of this state. Listen to this.
I have the constitutional ability to bring a lawsuit to protect constitutional rights of people of Michigan. So I brought a lawsuit on behalf of all the menstruating people in Michigan, 2.2 million.
So she brought a lawsuit on behalf of all the menstruating people in Michigan, 2.2 million people. How hard do you have to be woke to go out of your way to not say the word woman? That you apparently woman is now an offensive word. To call somebody a woman is offensive. To call them menstruating people apparently is not. But here's my question. What about the generation that no longer menstruates but used to? Are they not citizens anymore? I mean, are they no longer peasants like Whitmer thinks we are? You have just alienated a group from probably about 45 to 50 to 80 and above because they're no longer menstruating. And what about the men? We don't menstruate. So what do you call a man? Because apparently if you call a woman, it's offensive. What do you call a man? What do we do? The urinating while standing per people? I mean, really, I mean, to be this woke culture literally is blowing up in the Democrats' face because people are getting sick of it. A lot of people, not me, I thought it was ridiculous from the get-go, but a lot of people thought the woke culture was cute and, aw, yeah, they don't want to be called her anymore. They want you to pick their pronoun. And if you don't pick what pronoun they are, that they identify as, then you need to be reprimanded for that. The child, I think it was one child or two children in Wisconsin were actually brought up on charges because they didn't use the proper pronoun that a school person, a school girl, wanted to be called. So we're going to take thousands and thousands and thousands of years of him and her, he and she. These kids were brought up on he, she, him, her. And because somebody wants attention, and that's all this is. This is an attention for a child. This is an attention-getting scenario. They don't care. They really don't care. Listen, they grew up their whole lives being called her or him, depending on what they were, male or female. And then the woke culture came in, and they're like, that sounds cool. Yeah, I'm gender fluid. I'm Z. And if you don't call them by their proper pronoun that they want to be called, thereby nullifying pronouns that have been in existence since language has been in existence, you are offensive. And you need to be reprimanded and arrested, apparently. On a side note, the school district that brought charges up against these two children, middle school children in Wisconsin, just dropped charges. No reason. Didn't say why. Just dropped charges. Well, I can tell you why. Because the blowback, the pushback from the parents, from people with common sense saying, you can't press charges against these kids. They don't know any other way. I mean, honestly, if you walk up to somebody and say, hi, ma'am. Hi, miss. And I don't identify as that. They want to have you arrested. That is ridiculous. This woke culture that the Democrats are just thrusting upon us and shoving down our throats is blowing up in their face. Again, it was cute. People thought, oh, that's so special. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Now they're seeing that this is ridiculous. This woke culture, Disney, look at Disney. We're going to get into what Disney's doing with the Roe versus Wade thing in a minute, but look at Buzz Lightyear. Lightyear, the new movie by Disney. It is tanking. Sonic the Hedgehog is blowing it away. Now, granted, I'm a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, but everybody thought Lightyear was just going to blow away. Top Gun Maverick numbers. Well, it started coming out that Disney, well, they put a same-sex kiss in there. Again, Disney just shoving this gay pride, this gay lesbian stuff down our throats. The majority of Americans don't want their kids seeing that. They are trying to normalize it. This is a plan to normalize gay, lesbian, pedophilia. It's a plan to normalize it. And the American public is saying no. Countries are banning this movie because of that kiss. And it's all because they want to be so woke. They want to feel like they're making a difference. We don't care. We don't want that in there. You can make your own movies. Make your own movies and don't release them if that's the case. Do not release them to the public. Now, sure, you're going to get your people that say, oh, that is great, including that in the movie. Yeah, about 25% of the people. 75% of the people don't want to see it. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're a lesbian. Whatever. Just stop shoving it down my throat. June was horrible. It was Gay Pride Month. Pride Month. Everywhere you looked, everything is getting shoved down our throat. It's normal to be gay. Well, here's a commercial about a medicine where two gay guys are kissing or holding hands or, you know, come on. Everything's gay. Everything's interracial. I don't care if you're interracial. don't shove it down my throat. I mean, are we interracial? Are we promoting interracial? Or are we racist? Because the media says we're racist. Hollywood says we're racist. But everything is interracial now. So what is it? I mean, literally, you have to go out of your way to be woke. It is a full-time job. Because you are going against thousands of years of history and normalcy. I mean, listen. You can declare yourself to be anything you want. But when you die and they dig you up in 200, 300, 400 years, if you die, if you were born as a female and you transitioned to a male, when they dig up your bones, you know what they're going to say? That's a female. You know why? Because there's a difference between male and female bone structure. You can't change that. You can change your looks. You can change your outward appearance. You can grow breasts. You can cut off your you know what. You can't change who you are. It's just not possible. If you want to do it, that's fine. I don't care. Don't force it on me. If you are a man that dresses like a woman but still looks like a man, if I call you sir, don't get pissed at me. I don't know who you are from Henry. You look like a man to me. I'm going to call you a man. I'm going to call you sir. And don't you go off. Everybody saw that video years ago at GameStop where the guy looked like a man, wanted to be called a miss or a man or a ma'am or whatever, and just went off, tore the store apart. It's attention. These people have a severe mental issue. They crave attention. They can't get it in their normal lives, so they're going to get it by changing who they are. You can't change who you are. You are who you are. And speaking of change, let's change subjects here. Karen in New Zealand, you've been contacting me, and I'm trying to contact you back when I can. And it's just anybody that's been contacting me and I haven't got back with you, it's not on purpose. I can't do it right now. I haven't been able to have the strength to do it. But I've been reading about an encounter in New Zealand where people, I believe it was on the western side of New Zealand, where people were walking outside and seeing this huge blue spiral of light in the sky. And I mean, this wasn't just picked off by one or two people. It was picked up by hundreds of people with video, with pictures. People were calling their neighbors out to the porch and they were looking at it going, "What is this?" Now, we've seen the videos before where it may have been a rocket launch. But the problem is nobody's claiming any rocket launch in that area. So what was it? Karen, if you saw it or know somebody that has seen it, let me know. I want to hear what happened, what their encounter, what exactly they saw. Because this is becoming more and more prevalent. You know, there's... Maybe the rockets are failing. Maybe, you know, in the rocket thing, is it a hoax? Is that just a facade? Is that just somebody saying, "Hey, I don't know what it is. It's a rocket that went up. It failed." Because essentially that's what they're telling you, is the rockets failed. And it's just spinning around, leaving a blue spiral in the sky. I don't know. Karen, if you saw it or know anybody that does it, I'm sure it was news in New Zealand. So contact me and let me know what that is. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, China. China says that aliens are real. They had the communications from aliens, and then they went back on it. Listen, the UFO phenomenon, the UFO topic, it's hot and heavy right now. Something's going on. They are preparing us for disclosure. I'm sorry, people are seeing more and more, and everybody's starting, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but there's people starting to freak out, you know, oh my gosh, these UFO sightings are becoming more and more frequent, and they're unexplainable. Now the government's saying that they're real. There's going to be an alien invasion. They're going to invade us. I don't think we're going to have an invasion. I just don't. To me, why would a super advanced race want to invade us as we're growing technologically? If they were going to invade us, I'm assuming they'd invade us for our resources. So why would they invade us as we're using up our resources? Why wouldn't they do that a long time ago? And why would they do that when we have maybe somewhat of a chance to defend ourselves? Why wouldn't they do that before when there were less people, when they could have just come down and say, hey, this is ours. They're boom, boom, pew, pew, and you're gone. You know, I don't think that's the case. I think, honestly, that they have been in contact with the governments of the world, and they have a plan that has said, listen, we're not gonna make ourselves known right now. We're going to gradually do it. And I think we're in the gradually doing it stage. That's just me. That's just my feeling. But something is definitely going on in the field of UFOs. Okay, we're going to take our last... Wow, we're already at 41 minutes. We're going to take our last quick break. When we come back, I've got to talk about Roe versus Wade. And we're going to talk about what exactly is going down. So sit back, relax, open that mind. This is the Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
By my side, we'll be Bonnie and Clyde. We'll go for a ride down one of those dirt roads, but by the time we get back, it's gonna be cold. I'll put my arm around your shoulder and pull you close. I'm a pretty good guy, but I don't like to boast. I've got a German
Hello, and welcome to the Ohio Hauntings and Legends podcast. We will be taking you to places you have never dreamt of going. Hundreds, if not thousands, of haunted and abandoned locations. We will visit with the paranormal from your nightmares and try to understand the unexplained. Ohio alone has 88 counties within our state, and virtually each one of those counties has a story to tell. Ohio's history is bloodstained throughout its history. We will be covering more than just Ohio. We will cover the state you live in, the country. Trust me. There are thrills, chills, and we are upping the fright factor with each new stop we make. We will be traveling the world, the globe, looking for the strange, the mysterious, and the frightening. Mostly, we will find the unexplainable. Many of these episodes are genuine. Others are legend or hearsay. Believe those that you choose, or believe in none. It is your choice. Just get comfortable, sit back, dim the lights, and listen.
Alrighty, so unless you've been under a rock, you know by now the Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade. And people are losing their ever-loving minds. And they're doing it because the media is blowing this out of proportion and giving them false information. Here's the fact. What the Supreme Court did is basically say the federal government should have no business being in the game of abortion. It should be up to the states, which is exactly how our government is supposed to work. I've said this a million times on this show. The states are the ones that make the laws. People don't see that. People are under the assumption that Roe versus Wade is done. Abortions throughout the country are outlawed. They're not. Now, there are some states, my state, and I want to tell you something here. My state in 1931 made abortions illegal. That law, and I'm going to repeat what I just said. That law is still on the books. Our Attorney General, Dana Nessel, has gone on record saying she will not support that law. She will not adhere to that law. Listen, in her own words, this is our Attorney General, the highest ranking lawyer, essentially, in this state. Listen to this.
Multiple times that I will not enforce this law. And unless Planned Parenthood just doesn't believe me and thinks that, you know, that I'm misrepresenting what my position is, I don't understand why I would need to stipulate to anything. And again, I don't think it's appropriate for me to step in and start stipulating things. But I'm just not, you know, just not enforcing the law, and I'm not defending the case.
What she's talking about is Planned Parenthood is suing the Attorney General. Why, I don't know, because the Attorney General has basically said right here, it's a law. My job is to enforce the law, but I don't agree with this law, so therefore I'm not going to enforce it. Well, it's her job. That is her sole job, is to enforce the laws that are on the books. If this isn't partisan politics, I don't know what is. This is why the left is in utter chaos. The left is going to turn into a regional political party for the simple reason they don't understand how Americans feel. That is a law. You have to enforce it. Now, listen, I don't agree with abortion. I've got people on my Facebook feed. There's one in particular, just had a child, that is just all up in arms. You have no right to my body, my choice. Where was that sentiment when this same person and many others were crying about people not getting vaccines? Where was the my body, my choice at that time? Doesn't matter. Didn't fit their narrative. When something goes against them, then that fits their narrative. It amazes me how people are losing their ever-loving mind because we don't want to kill babies. We don't want to kill unborn babies. People are losing their mind because they want to have the right to kill unborn babies. Well, that's none of your business. That's my body. No, that's not your body. That is the big difference. Your body is your body. That baby has their own body. That baby doesn't have a say. Just because you want to go out and get drunk, have sex, oh my God, I got pregnant, I'm going to have an abortion. Why should the baby have to suffer? Now, I will tell you, I do think that there is room that we could work on in cases of rape, incest, or where the mother is in danger of dying during childbirth, or there's something wrong with that child, where that child is not going to live long after birth. I agree with that. It's just to go and say, nope, you're going to kill people. People are going to die. No, they're not. I've heard stories of, well, you know, back in the 1800s, you know, they had large families and they'd have a baby and they'd just shove dirt in their mouth or they'd put them down the outhouse hole. Come on. I mean, let's not be a little overdramatic here. This isn't the 1800s. You can't just do that now. It just amazes me that the Democrats who are crying that this is the most horrific thing that could ever happen. These babies need to have the chance to be killed. They're the same people that are like, oh, these children being killed in schools is unacceptable. What's the difference? Okay, instead of a school, let's turn the school into a womb. Then they're okay with killing them, right? There's no two-way street here. You're either for life or against life. I honestly cannot believe anyone who has ever had a kid that just thinks, well, you know what? I don't want this kid, so I'm going to kill it. To me, it is unconscionable. I can't wrap my head around that, how you can have a kid and still think abortion, just regular abortion. You know, I had sex with this guy. I'm pregnant. I don't want a kid. Kill it. I don't understand that. But here's the thing. Each state has its own law. And these people that are just up in arms and claiming that I don't love my country anymore, I can't call myself an American anymore. Well, First off, let me know where you are. Let me know when you want me there. I will pack your bags for you. All you have to do is sit and watch me pack your bags. I will pack my bags for you to get you the hell out of this country. If you are that disgraced with your country, the greatest country in the history of this planet, get out. And I've had all over my feed are people, I don't even want to be called an American anymore. I'm so ashamed of my country. Get out. Leave. I will help you pack. I will buy you a ticket out of this country as long as you promise never to come back. But here's the thing. These same people that are all over social media, you know, on social media, they're hooping and hollering and hooping and hollering. You know what? If you're that adamant that you want to be able to kill an unborn child, you want that option, move to a state that allows it. Move to California. If you feel that strongly, you should have no qualms. You should not second guess. You should be already looking for a home in a state that is abortion friendly. If you are that passionate about it. If you are on my Facebook feed, if you are at these protests and you are not looking for real estate or looking for a house or looking to move somewhere where abortion is legal, you have no leg to stand on, because this is how it's supposed to work. You don't like the laws in this state? Move to a state where you like the laws. That's as simple as that. That's how this country is supposed to work. We are a collection of states, and each state has its own rules. If you don't like the rules, move. Just like a job. If you're not happy in the job you're at, why stay at it? Go to a different job where you'll be happy. If you don't like the state you live in because you feel the laws are oppressive and horrible for women, go to a state, New York. Now let's see, Oregon, Washington, California. Go there and live your life where you can kill your unborn baby. But for the rest of us, we're going to adhere to the laws of the land. And I find it funny how we are just all about the January 6th, quote-unquote, insurrection. That's all the Democrats want to talk about. But nobody's mentioning the 500-plus riots in the summer of 2020. Nobody wants to talk about that. Where were the hearings on those riots? Where were the Democrats condemning those riots? They weren't condemning them. They were condoning them. They were like, yeah, they're peaceful protests. They have the right to do that. Where was our right to peacefully protest? Because it wasn't Trump. It wasn't the Trump supporters that were tearing into everything. And it's funny how they've got these edited video clips. They're edited, everybody. Cassie Hutchinson was interrogated, and she said, oh yeah, Donald Trump threw a ketchup packet against the wall, and he was driving in the Beast and said, these people are armed, they're not for me, let them in. And he wanted to go to the Capitol and they wouldn't let him. He tried to grab the wheel. And you know what? She heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. It's REO Speedwagon song, but it was all hearsay. Hearsay is not admitted in a court of law, nor is there any type of cross-examination on that day. The head of the Secret Service was listening to Cassie Hutchinson lie through her teeth. And literally, the Democrats were eating it up. Oh, here we've got Donald Trump. We've got him now. He's unhinged. It's all lies. Because the head of the Secret, the guy driving the car, said he never did that. That's all lies. He was watching Cassidy Hutchinson talk about it, and he heard her say it, and he's like, what in the world? He had to call his Secret Service buddy who was there saying, can you believe what this lunatic just said? She wasn't even there. She heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody. We've all played that game. I'll tell you a secret, pass it on. I'll tell you a secret, pass it on. By the time it gets to the end, it has nothing to do with what the original secret was. Because it's twisted, it's manipulated, it's misheard. But yet the Democrats, oh yeah, it's just like the whistleblower. Before, whistleblowers, oh, we have to out them. No, whistleblowers now, you can say anything you want and you're protected. Because it's a whistleblower, we need to protect the whistleblower. Sorry. No, if you are going to implement somebody for an impeachable crime or a crime of treason, essentially, then you need to be outed. You need to come forth and you need to speak your case. You can't go and do hearsay. This is what the whole thing is. And the beauty of it is the American public is just not even caring. I mean, we're focusing, or let me rephrase that, the Communist Party of America, the Democrats, they're focusing on all their cards are on this January 6th thing. Meanwhile, people are paying $5, $6, $7, $8, $9 a gallon. Inflation is over 10%. No end in sight. Our economy is about ready to collapse. And this is all they want to talk about. And polls have shown that people don't give a shit about this. They want gas prices going down. They want prices going down. They want more money in their pockets. And the Democrats, they're just trying to deflect it. Deflect it. Don't look at the economy. Don't look at inflation. Don't look at the gas prices. Look at what Trump did. Listen to what Cassidy Hutchinson is saying that her friend heard from a friend who he heard from a friend. Can you believe that? This is what we're up against nowadays. We are fighting a political party whose sole purpose is to destroy the capitalistic economy of this country, to destroy this country, and they will do anything they can to do so. And they realize that the majority of Americans don't want anything to do with it. So it's diversion after diversion after diversion, division after division after division. You're racist. You're a social, or you're a white supremacist. This is what we're up against. And we need, I mean, it seems like people are waking up. I'm really anxious to see what happens in November, how bad the Democrats get shellacked. All right, everybody, that'll be the show this week. Again, thank you so much for all of the kind words and support that you've given me. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people told me, hey, take as much time as you need. We miss you. We can't wait to hear you again, but get well. And it is just makes what I do every week. I don't make money doing this, but that is more precious than money. All right. We will be back next week, hopefully, God willing. My name is Tom Velasquez. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I will talk to you next week. And again, happy 4th of July, everybody. Have a great day. I'm going to shatter your world right now. I'm going to blow your mind as I tell you the deal. Life is tough, but you make it harder. You got your own views and your